Good afternoon. It's been a few weeks since we had the opportunity to learn together. I apologize for that. Just wanted to share a few thoughts, mostly based on some beautiful thoughts that I saw in from Elimelech Biderman, a darshan in Bnei Brak. Again, or maybe expand on them a little bit, but some ideas that relate to the parsha. So one of the most famous, the two most prominent episodes in the parsha, in Parshas Bishalach, are the splitting of the Yamsuf, Kriyas Yamsuf, the great miracle that took place with HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing the entire world and showing Klal Yisrael that he is the one who controls everything, and at the same time destroying the Egyptian people. The second is that of the man, the special food that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God provided for Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. And the man included a very unique test. The Torah tells us that the Bnei Yisrael were not allowed to leave over food from one day to the next. So Sirim and Abuk, you're not allowed to leave over. You're not allowed to leave over any of the man until the next day. Anything that's left over would become wormy, spoiled, disgusting. And it was a test. It was a nisayon. It was a challenge for Bnei Yisrael to be able to have the bitachon, have the amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem would provide for them each day, even though there's nothing else in the midbar. They had absolutely no other food that they could. That they could have, and yet Hashem was telling them, "Don't take more. Don't leave over. Don't wait. Don't save for tomorrow." And Bnei Yisrael had to have that emunah, that faith that Hashem was going to provide for them. And it seems to be that for the most part, everybody passed the test, except that there were two, Dathan and Aviram, that the Torah tells us that in fact they did not listen to Moshe, and their extra food spoiled. And it says that Moshe Rabbeinu became very angry with them. So clearly they didn't show the requisite faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't show the Emunah B'Hashem. But why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at them? What was so terrible? There are so many sins that could take place. They did something wrong. They violated a prohibition. But why was it so terrible that it really angered Bnei Yisrael? I'm sorry, it angered Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Meshech Chochma answers something which is extremely fundamental. The reason that Moshe was angry was because part of what the experience of the man was about the challenge. It wasn't just merely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should provide for them, but it was that they had to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us, and we have to have that emunah. That was fundamental to the experience of the man, was having that emunah b'Hashem, that faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he would provide food tomorrow. When Dathan and Aviram left over the food, and Bnei Yisrael saw that if you leave it over, it's going to be destroyed. There's no purpose in leaving it over. So yes, they saw the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time that they saw the greatness of Hashem, that in fact he held by his word, it also eliminated the nisayon. It got rid of the challenge. The purpose of the Torah and so many mitzvot, and in particular here, is to have that challenge in place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see how we respond, how we become bigger, how we become greater through the nisyonos, through the challenge that we have. And Dathan and Aviram did a disservice to Klal Yisrael. The fact that now they know clearly, not just because Hashem said don't leave it over, but they saw in their very own eyes that people who leave it over, it's not going to be left, it's going to be destroyed, it's going to be gotten rid of. That was the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was upset. Dathan and Aviram took that away from Klal Yisrael. And that idea of what the nisyonos are, all about, and what the mitzvos are about, and developing the emunah v'Hashem, he illustrated through an interesting story. And it relates really to the challenge of much of what we experience in our human experience. But he tells the story of the fame of the Rebbe Reb Zusha. And the Rebbe Reb Zusha, the story goes at least, had some level of Ruach HaKodesh. And when he would have to go around collecting money, he would be able to anticipate before he would go to a certain city how much money he would get from that city. And when he was traveling, one time he was traveling along with somebody, and his partner asked him, "Okay, we've been here long enough, let's move on to the next city." And Reb Zusha says, No, we're not finished yet. I know we're supposed to earn more money." The next morning, one of the wealthy members of the community who was abroad came back home, and he gave a very nice donation to Reb Zusha. And Reb Zusha said, "Good, now we have the amount that I knew we were supposed to have. We're ready to move on." But the bigger part of the story was Reb Zusha's grandson. that his grandson said, I'm not on his level. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. He says, when I come to a city, I don't know how much money I'm going to receive, if I need to receive money. But when I leave the city, I know how much it was originally destined for me to earn. And on that, the Talmud Rebbe said that the grandson's Madrega, the great level, is even greater. The level to afterwards realize that it wasn't because I had a good speech, and it wasn't because I had a good plea, and I begged in the right way, and I asked in the right way. That's why I was able to get the money. It was the realization that ultimately it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to be able to look back, even without knowing beforehand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to provide for you. But you know, I worked hard, I made money, I was able to do something, and to realize that it really wasn't me. Really, it all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's in fact an even greater level of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah tells us, Chazal tell us, that the Shifcha at the Yamsuf, right, saw even a greater nevuah than the Navi Yechezkel ben Buzi. How do we know it? So Chazal tells us, because Zeh Keli v'Anveu, this is Hashem and I praise Him. And the Tziv asks, how do we know that it was the Shifcha that said that? How do we know that it was the maidservants? Maybe everybody said Zakeli Vanveya. Maybe it was the righteous. Maybe it was the tzaddiki who said, look, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing. Look how beautiful it is. So the Tziv answers, Zakeli means this is my Hashem. Meaning they were praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu only when He provided all the Biza Sayam, all the riches, all the wealth, when everything was good, Zakeli. That's my God. And that experience of only seeing God when things are good, that's only said by the Shifcha. Because the challenge of the great ones is to be able to see and to be able to appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, under all circumstances, is the one who provides for us. He gives a mashal. He says it's like a child who comes out of the fun house, you know, the haunted house in the amusement park. And all these things are popping out, and the child is scared. And then afterwards, it's all distraught, and somebody comes over, an adult comes over and says, what's wrong? He said, I dropped something. He says, why don't you go back and get it? He goes, what? Are you crazy? Look what's in there. He says, no, I'll come with me. And the adult takes him in and turns on the light. And suddenly, all those things that were so scary are cardboard and are fake, and there's nothing to it. That's what Amunah is. Amunah is that ability to take the scary things, to take the challenges, and to be able to help us rise up to the occasion and realize that it's Amunah which can illuminate our lives. And one way that's accomplished is through Hashgacha Pratis, in terms of trying to see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does under all circumstances, and to be able to be cognizant and to try to look out over the course of the week, and to be able to find opportunities to share and to experience the hashkacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes one's perspective, changes one's experience of all that happens over the course of the week. One of the other rabbis he quotes says again on the Akiras Yamsuf that even the Shivcha saw these great levels of prophecy. Why was it that by Matan Torah there were different boundaries? Some people were able to get closer to Har Sinai, some people had to be further. Why is it that by Kriyas Yamsuf it was the one vision for all, but by Matan Torah it wasn't? He explains that when it comes to Torah, then it depends on the amount that one studies. So the one that studies more deserves to be closer because they're going to have a deeper experience of the Torah, of Matan Torah. When it comes to Amunah, there aren't any differences. Whoever holds on to Amunah, if one truly has Amunah about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the places it can take him to, their sky is the limit. That's what the Parsha of Man, which many read as a school of Harparnasa, isn't a magic trick. But it's internalizing these ideas and the Amunah Bashem that really, it's like the Man. I don't know what I'm going to make tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And I have full faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That ultimately, that faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's expressed in the Parsha of Man, that's what brings the potential for the bracha into our lives. And hopefully we will all merit in the zuchus of the appreciation of these Parshas to be able to experience Emunah Hashem, live our lives with Emunah Hashem, and deepen that Emunah. Maybe not a trivia question, but an interesting question that's talked about in some of the in some svarim is we know we have to make a berachas hanehen and we have to make a bracha before we have any pleasure from this world, and we know that there are different types of bracha. What would be the bracha? What bracha was said on the man? Wishing everybody a warm both in Ruchnius and Gashmius, and wonderful Shabbos.